you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, and go. It's time for us here on the radio program anyway to actually say goodbye to February. Today would be the day we would always say goodbye to February, except for it is leap year. So everybody jump up in the air, and you get one more day to experience February. But by the time we come back on the air here on Monday, it will already be March. And so this is where we say goodbye to February. That means 16% of the year is already gone, in case you're keeping track. And so if you're thinking about getting ready, let me just help you with a little realization that I come to, and that is I always have these goals that I want to accomplish, and the next thing I do is I look up and my time frame to accomplish those goals is gone. So here a few weeks ago, I had a person who was encouraging me on my time management issues. And, you know, it was like, okay. And then all of a sudden they had an emergency that arose that required me. And they were like encouraging me to come and help them with this issue that, you know, I could have resolved at a different time. Connections just didn't work out at that point in time. And so when I saw them, I said, so just so you know, because they don't go to my church, I said, just so you know, this is the type of thing that happens in my life almost every day. Somebody has an issue that arises that is going to impact my time management. It doesn't happen every day, but it sure happens a lot. And so if you've got some goals that you were wanting to accomplish before summertime, get on them now. Get on them now, because you're going to blink a couple of times and the next thing you know, it will be summertime. I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. I'll repeat that again, 321-536-5804. If you need block or concrete work done, give them a call. They will get it done right. They will get it done right the first time. I was watching a home improvement show, building off the grid, and it was a Vermont stone home or something like that. And there was a person that had some skills, and here's what happened. He ended up calling in a concrete truck, and at some point in time, there was a pour that was done, and he said, I just did in 5 minutes with this concrete truck what it would have taken me an entire day to do the way that I was operating before. And then it shows him moving on to the next section, and his infrastructure failed, his support system, the things that were supposed to hold the concrete in place, that began to fail. And it was like, you know what? This guy is experiencing a learning curve with concrete that you know, most of us don't have time to learn the hard way. So Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. They have the decades of experience. They have the expertise. They have the work ethic, the integrity. They're going to treat you fair. Give them a call if you have a future project that is coming up with so much construction that is going on right now. There's a lot of demand. And so don't wait till the last minute and think you're going to be able to call on a morning and have somebody out there of an afternoon. I will also tell you this. If you do have a project that's coming up that you can do while it's cool, be a blessing to the people who are out there working in the heat of the elements, and say, you know what? If I can get them scheduled in the cooler weather, then that will be a blessing to them. 321-536-5804, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. I'm going to take you this morning into the book of 2 Kings chapter 3. One of the things that I find whenever I do these Bible studies, right now we're going through the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, and we have come to that portion of the Lord's Prayer where it is deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. And I would say that most of us want to be delivered in that, from evil. I don't think any of us say, oh yeah, what I need is more evil activity going on in my life. I don't think anybody is saying that. And a lot of times whenever I do this exhaustive research, it takes me to passages that you might not always hear about from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. There are some fantastic passages of Scripture that we tend to just kind of gloss over. There was a study many, many years ago that said the majority of Christian sermons, now I don't know how many, what kind of analytics they did on it, how many sermons they surveyed and all that, but they found that the majority of Christian sermons came from a very small portion of the Word of God. We find our comfort zone and we just kind of stick in that comfort zone. I like to bring here on the Refresh Radio program some passages that maybe you don't hear about a lot, and bring out some truths that have been impactful to me through the years. And this is one of them. This is one of them. So today we're going to talk about deliverance, and 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 6. This is Ahab's son, Jehoram, has become king over Israel. Jehoshaphat had been king in Judah for in the 18th year of, Jehoram came in, became king after Jehoshaphat had been king for 18 years, and he reigned 12 years. Verse number 6 is this: So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me," which means that he was no longer paying the king of Israel to keep peace with him. He says, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand also. You shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stone." Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. We're going to stop the reading there today. I don't know if we're going to get past that. We'll have to come back and finish this story on Monday. But here we find that Jehoram is wanting to go and deal with this person who has stopped paying the 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams to the king of Israel. So there was an economic crisis. There was a budget shortfall that began to motivate Jehoram to act. And so he contacts Jehoshaphat. This would be something just like his father had done. And Jehoshaphat really, even though Jehoshaphat was a godly king, Jehoshaphat really wanted the kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, to function in unity. He put actions to his words, but I will tell you this. If there is no spiritual unity, there is not going to be able to be any functional unity. Okay? Spiritual unity has to come before there is functional unity. There's no other way around it. And Jehoshaphat was kind of like a one-way street. He was the one that was constantly being asked to go with Ahab and go with Jehoram on their missions. And they were always self-centered. And he believed that Ahab would treat him with the same respect that he treated Ahab. But if you go back to the last chapter, chapter 22 of 1 Kings, you'll find Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "You go ahead and wear the royal robes out into battle, and I'm going to go in disguise." And that was because he knew that the prophecy that had come was about Ahab being destroyed, and he was going to try and outsmart God. I will tell you that no matter what strategy you employ, you are never going to be able to outwit. You're never going to be able to lie to or convince inappropriately God. God knows all things. He knows your heart, the intents of your heart. He knows what's true and what is deception. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows what's to come. And so I would just tell you, if you find yourself and you're the one putting forth all of the effort to bring about spiritual unity, that's one of the reasons why missionary dating is not successful, is because most of the time it is the believer who is being asked to compromise their convictions, and the unbeliever gets to go on and continue to do everything that they were going to, and the person says, "Well, I'm going to win them. I'm going to win them." And I will tell you that although it has happened on some occasions, I'm not going to say that it has never been successful, but the bulk of the time, an overwhelming majority of the time, that compromise that the believer makes never convinces the unbeliever to become a believer. Okay? Now, you can live it out, you can demonstrate it, but most people that I have known who have been in covenant relationships where there was not spiritual equity, it is the unbeliever who was being, or it was the believer who was being made to make all of the compromises. So they might be able to go to church, but by golly, you'd better be home by a certain point in time, because I need to have lunch on the table. And I don't really want you to go today. I know that you go all the other time, but I don't want you to go today. Or we got company. And it's always the believer who makes the compromises. And I will tell you that whenever that happens, one of the side effects is a loss of respect. I know a person, and they were constantly dealing with believers, and they found that believers were always willing to sacrifice their principles, and it caused a disdain in this individual because they were always willing to lay down their most precious principles, until that person found a person that said, there is no way on God's green earth that I am going to compromise this principle in my life. And all of a sudden, that person had respect. I am thankful for mercy. I am thankful for grace. I'm not talking about rigidity, but I'm telling you that we've got to recognize that there are some absolutes in our life. What fellowship, the New Testament says, is there between Christ and Belial? What fellowship is there between light and darkness? And so it is not going to have lasting fruit if we are sacrificing spiritual unity for the sake of functional unity. And I will, you know, if you find yourself in a one-way street relationship, I don't do one-way street relationships where one person has got to be putting forth all of the effort all of the time. You know, at that point in time, I say, you know what? I was looking for fellowship. I was looking for relationship. I was looking for covenant. But if you're not willing to put forth any effort into this relationship, then I'm going to honor your request and say, you know what, we'll wave at one another once a year when we see each other in the grocery store. Not because that was what I wanted, but I tend to let other people determine the level of relationship. So and I'm gonna we'll address the level of relationship. We're gonna be in this passage for a little bit of time here. But we'll talk about that level of relationship. If you think that you're walking in covenant and the other person thinks that this isn't a merging of roads, this is simply an intersection, you're going to find yourself extremely frustrated in that relationship. You need to make sure that God has you in relationships where you are moving together in the same flow or the same direction, and that direction is towards the perfect will of God for your lives and fulfilling that purpose. So anyway, back to the word. It says, Jehoshaphat says, I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Then he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, by the way of the wilderness of Edom. So you end up not having two kings. You've got Israel, you've got Judah, you got Jehoram of Israel, you got Jehoshaphat of Judah, and then you also have the king of Edom that joins in this, and they take a roundabout. They don't take a direct road to where they were going. It takes them 7 days to make this roundabout journey, and in doing so, they exhaust their resources. They run out of water. So someone's strategic plan has fallen desperately short. You've got to have water. You know, I don't know if you've been in that region of the world. I haven't been, but water is a very precious commodity. I watched a documentary here within the past year, I would say, upon the water crisis in the Middle East. And there's a real problem. The Sea of Galilee has levels are low. The Dead Sea water levels are low. The Jordan River waters tend to be low. They're looking for creative solutions. How are we going to satisfy all of the water needs that are needed? And so they've got all of these desalinization plants. And I think that there is some water warfare that has gone on that's helped create that crisis, but they didn't really touch on that in that documentary because that would have been an inconvenient fact to deal with. But you and I, we can only live a short period of time without hydration. And especially if you're making a journey, if it's in the heat of the day, you're going to create a much larger need. And so because of this lack of resources, the person who created the concept of this journey, probably the one who didn't think through all of the strategy as well, says, I've got the solution. God has called us together to deliver all of us into the hand of the king of Moab. That's what's happened. He's put us all together. We're working in unity here. And the ultimate goal is God has brought us together, not so that Moab would be delivered back into the relationship that benefits me financially, but instead he's brought all of us together so that Israel and Judah and Edom could all be handed over to the people of Moab. And you know what? That concept makes sense if you are fixated on natural resources. That concept makes sense if you do not understand that God keeps his covenant with his covenant people. Okay? So Jehoshaphat was actually leading his people in a revival at this point in time. God's not going to hand you over to an oppressor when you are doing life in obedience and righteousness. Jehoshaphat had set his face like a flint to seek the Lord. He led his people in a revival. So Jehoshaphat is doing things well, and yet because of natural resources, depression and fatalism sets in and says, I understand. God has set me up so that not that I could walk in victory, but that I could walk in defeat. I want to tell you something here as a word of encouragement and refreshing, that God is not limited by natural resources because he is a supernatural God. God has resources available for you and I many times that we don't know anything at all about. We need to be able to have a relationship with God where we learn to trust him when we don't fully understand what is going on. Okay? Several years ago, when they had made the decision to shut down the not only the shuttle program, but the replacement rocket program, which I think was called Constellation, if I remember right, and all of a sudden jobs are drying up in Brevard County. Merritt Island's really close. We didn't have many people that were working out at the Cape at that point in time, but there are secondary jobs that are generated by all of those jobs out there. There's people who needed restaurants and places to buy their clothes and they need all sorts of cars and things like that. And when those people's jobs left, well, you know what? They had to pack up their belongings and they had to move someplace where the jobs were. And so we're looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of job losses. And at our annual business meeting, we got our annual business meeting coming up here in a week or so. And at the annual business meeting, God kind of had a moment of faith that rose up inside of me. And he said, church, this is not the time for us to shrink back into self-preservation mode, but this is the time for us to step out and minister with faith, not fear, because we have a God whose economy is not failing, even if we live in the midst of a people whose economy has just took a gut punch. And I want you to know that that year was not a year of shrinking back, but it propelled us where we have been increasing in effectiveness and increasing in ministry and increasing in provision almost without interruption. So anybody can serve whatever when things are going well, but it takes people who know their God that says, you know what? When the natural resources are not there, I've got a God who promised he was never going to leave me. He was never going to forsake me. If you find yourself in a situation, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's family members, and they're just fatalistic, and by that I mean they're always doom and gloom. Everything is a worst case scenario. Everything is completely going to fall apart. There's no natural resources. There's no remedy to this situation. Remind them, you know what? That might be what the natural outlook is, but I serve a God who said he was never going to leave me and he was never going to forsake me. And you would be amazed at what kind of peace that can provide into your life. I'm not talking to you just having knowledge on that side. I can tell you that early in our marriage, we suffered from a lack of resources. In the early days at Merit Assembly of God, we suffered from a lack of resources. And my wife and I dug ourselves a personal hole many times keeping the church afloat. And you know, that trend is all reversed and it's moving in a much better direction now. But I can tell you this, God delivered me from the spirit of fear of disaster because of lack of resources. And I'm never going back. I'm never going back because God was faithful then. He's been faithful to bring me through situations where I said, I have no idea how we're going to get through this. And then looked back in the rearview mirror after we threw and said, I have no idea how we got through that. God is faithful. If there are people around you surrounded by fear and doom and gloom, you say, you know what? My God said he's never going to leave me. He's going to provide, and it's going to be okay. God bless you. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
When I crave the beauty of this world, when the mirage allures me with its call, help me remember life's fleeting glance. A moment's whisper and never a second chance. I call your name, Father, and I hear you answer. I call your name, I feel you by my side. Then you remind me, you never left me. It's then I know your glory's here inside. It's then I know your glory's here inside.